8:18 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. In the studio with me with a monthly update from the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association, Tom Kelly. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Leslie.
Well, first off, boy, what a turnout for Sam Jackenthal, a member of USSA as a young skier.
Yeah, that was just a sad situation, but just so gratifying to see the support from the community. I don't know, my estimate is over 1,000 people there at the Utah Olympic Park on Saturday night to hear more about Sam Jackenthal, who, for those of us who maybe didn't know him, I did not know him personally, but I think we've all learned a lot about him over the last month or so. Not only a great athlete, but just an amazing individual, a great character, and someone whose legacy will long live on.
Okay. Well, hard to believe that we've got an opening World Cup Alpine race coming up.
It really is. You know, we're going to hit record temperatures here in Park City again this fall. Beautiful fall right here. But it's time to head to Solden. Ted Ligety packed the bags and headed off a few days ago to get some time on the glacier. A big opening event coming up a week from this weekend in Solden, Austria, the typical opening up on the glacier. Conditions have been very good for training there. It's an important start of a season for Ted Ligety, who last year won the World Championship, backing up the titles that he had won two times previously. But the one thing that escaped him last year is he lost that World Cup GS title to Marcel Hirscher from Austria. That's something that he dearly wants to get back, so it's an important opener for him. Also for Michaela Schifrin, who was on the podium there a year ago in giant slalom. She has won the slalom title the last few years and looking to step it up a little bit. Going to be looking at that GS title, and I think we'll probably see her do a little bit of speed this year as well. So opening weekend, an important time. Lindsey Vonn, still coming back from that ankle fracture from this summer. She's had very, very good rehab, looking to get back on snow. I think we'll see her in Solden. I don't know that we'll see her compete or not. She's going to make an announcement on that early next week, but things progressing well for her, and she's looking forward to coming back and going for that World Cup overall title.
All right, because she's kind of learned the lesson of, going out too early for after an injury.
Yeah, this one was really not too major. She got some good on-snow time in before it. She actually was in Park City about a month or so ago doing some physical testing. She looks great. So I think we're going to see her back at full steam. Whether or not we see her in the opener remains to be seen. But I think by the time we get to Aspen for the Thanksgiving weekend races, we'll be seeing her back and ready to rock.
Great. So you've been going to Solden for years. What's the condition of the glacier there? I mean, are we seeing it like all of our other glaciers here in North America?
Haven't seen it. You know, it's not the kind of thing that you can really visually see, at least in my perspective. There certainly are some benchmarks if you get close and you've been going there. You can see some things that have receded. The time of year that we go, there usually is more natural snow, so that tends to cover things up. But for sure, the glaciers are a concern everywhere, and particularly a concern over in Europe. It's an important training area for us. Talked to Tiger Shaw, our CEO, who was over there about a week ago, just checking out conditions with the teams training there, and he said training is just fantastic right now. They've had good snow. So we've got teams training there. We've got freestyle skiers, mogul skiers training over in Zermatt right now. So the European snow is looking really pretty good.
Okay. Held our U.S. Ski Jumping Championships on the Plastic in Lake Placid. We do this before the season even really starts, huh?
Yeah, we made this switch some years ago. It's really been a much better experience. It's easier to integrate into the schedule without taking up a weekend during the busy winter on-snow competition season. We actually held the large hill version of the U.S. Championships here in Park City in August, and we went over to Lake Placid for the Flaming Leaves contest for the normal hill version on the HS 100-meter hill there. It was a big show for the Midwest. Michael Glaster winning his first U.S. title. He's from Illinois, jumping out of the Norgi Ski Club program, and Nita England from Florence, Wisconsin, out of the Kiwanis Ski Club at Iron Mountain. Big, towering, big hill there. She's actually training over in Slovenia right now. Came back for the U.S. championships and won that handily. So strong showing for Midwesterners. Abby Hughes, so kind of breaking that up, winning the silver medal for in the women's event. Great finish for her, and was really the closest challenger to Nita England over the course of the weekend.
Okay, and then we've got the cross-country team, coming to Park City? What, to do roller skiing? Or?
Yeah, this is an annual camp that we do with the cross-country team. Many of them now are based here, folks like Liz Steven and Noah Hoffman, the entire team coming to town, Keegan Randall and company, and they're going to be doing a lot of dry land work around the Center of Excellence, hanging out in the community, doing runs, a lot of roller skiing. I'm going to be out with them this Friday at Soldier Hollow in the morning for roller skiing, and then doing a really cool thing this Monday. We've brought L.L. Bean and Kraft Sportswear on as our uniforming partners. They're going to do a ceremonial uniform distribution this Monday at the Center of Excellence. Some of the head executives from L.L. Bean and Kraft Sportswear coming out for that. First time we've done anything like this with our teams, and it's an excited new partner for us, and the cross-country athletes anxious to get all that new gear and start to put it on and get off on the season, which starts in about a month.
Okay. Well, this is kind of exciting. We're headed to Boston to do what?
Well, it's been a fun month. It's important for us to have as much sport exposure as possible in the East. And this is an area that we really have not been so strong in recent years. So two big announcements that we made over the past few weeks. The first one, we're going to be doing a Big Air free skiing and snowboarding event in Fenway Park, the iconic baseball home of the Boston Red Sox. We established a partnership with Fenway Sports Management. It's a great partnership. They are super excited to have this event there. They think that they can put in between 15 and 20,000 people each night. One night, a Thursday night, February 11th, and Friday night, February 12th. One night of free skiing, one night of snowboarding. There'll be a nationally known entertainment act each night. Tickets are going to go on sale on November 12th for that. And we did a wonderful opening about a month ago in Fenway itself. Sage Kotzenberg, Josh Christensen out there with us, along with Ty Walker, to kick things off. So something like we've never seen before, 140-foot high jump. That's going to be 10 feet higher than the top of the lights at Fenway. And it's going to extend all the way from the 420 mark in center field all the way to home plate, and actually behind home plate as the athletes come off that 140-foot jump, do their flips and twists and land it. Pretty spectacular event. You'll be able to watch. If you can't get out to Fenway, you'll be able to watch it live on NBCSN.
Okay, I was going to say, if the snow year is like anything like last year, that's not going to be hard to build.
We've talked about that, and actually some of the challenges that that might present. We've actually partnered up with Killington on this. Killington, one of the powder resorts, powder based here in Park City, and Killington's going to be doing the snowmaking for that event. And coming back a few weeks later, we also just announced that we're hopefully going to be taking an Alpine World Cup event, women's giant slalom and slalom, to Killington to kick off the season in November of 2016. This passed the initial review by the International Ski Federation, just subject to final confirmation next month from the FIS Council, and we're going to be going to Killington. One of the reasons we did this is we really wanted to partner with Powder. Powder's an organizer that we've worked with many times, both here at Park City Mountain Resort and also at Copper Mountain, so we knew that Powder had the infrastructure to pull this event off. Pretty big undertaking early season, but Killington has a reputation for getting open early, and we're looking to welcoming the world there in November 2016.
So does that replace the Aspen World Cup? Or?
It does. We had a one-year window where, because of the World Cup finals in Aspen in March of 2017, Aspen was not going to do its opening World Cup, which is tradition over Thanksgiving weekend. So we've been working for about 5 years in anticipation of this opening to get the World Cup back to Killington. We hope that we make a big enough show at the FIS, that the FIS would be inclined to maybe add another weekend as we move forward. But right now, we want to get back there and really get our Eastern ski racing fans pumped up about the World Cup.
Yeah. But doesn't Aspen traditionally hold a downhill?
Aspen traditionally is a giant slalom, and slalom used to hold a downhill when the races were in March, but in the early season, Thanksgiving shifted over to a GS and slalom. A lot of that took place after Park City stopped doing the America's Opening World Cup after the 2003-2004 season. We kind of established that base in Colorado with the Audi Birds of Prey Race Week for the men, first weekend in December, and that was preceded by the Aspen Winter National on Thanksgiving weekend. So 1 year shift right now, but we hope we make an impression to go out there more frequently.
All right. And then, as we've reported, USSA taking over NASTAR, and that is kicking off here soon?
yeah, we're getting ready to go on that. It's been a great partnership over the years, and now U.S. Ski Team has the management of NASTAR under its wings. We're going to kick that off by bringing back the pace-setting trials. This is an event that was held for many years but was discontinued a long time ago. But on November 6th, Friday, we're going to be doing an event, the Putnam Investments NASTAR pace-setting trials at Copper Mountain. One of the cool things this year, in addition to all of the alumni and others are going to come back to race with current team athletes to set the pace for NASTAR, we're also running a contest right now called What Makes a Champ, and invite any ski racing fans, kids, adults, masters racers, whoever, to go online to our Twitter page or Facebook and just use the hashtag What Makes a Champ and talk about what you think makes a champion. Ted Ligety has kicked it off. We've got a little video running on that right now, but Ted's going to actually pick the winner, and the winner's going to get tickets for three to go to Copper and race against Ted Ligety in the pace setting trials.
Okay. And just one last question wanted to ask you. So what's Bodie Miller's plans? Is he retiring? Is he staying? Is he...
Well, the retiring word probably doesn't ever work with Bodie because it's unpredictable. I can tell you that Bodie was on snow this summer, so he actually has skied. I don't know if we'll see him or not this season. What I tend to tell people is that my gut instinct is that we're going to see Bodie ski racing again at some point in time. There's nothing imminent. I don't think that we're going to see him at Solden Racing next weekend, but I just kind of think at some point we're going to see him out there on the boards again. I hope so. But I know that the one thing Bodie's never going to do is to come out with a news release that says, I'm retiring. He's just not going to do that. He's either going to just fade away of sorts or he's going to come back and race. And I think that's the cool thing about Bodie is you never really know.
Okay. Tom, thanks.
Great. Thanks a lot.
It's 8:30 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the Local News Hour on KPCW. Park City Councilmember Becca Gerber has lived in Park City since she was 9 years old. She graduated from Park City High School and the University of Utah with a degree in political science. She is currently the director of sales and marketing at Aloha Ski and Snowboard. She serves as a member of the board of directors for the Historic Park City Alliance, also serves on the Recreation Advisory Board, and is a member of Park City Leadership Class 20. She joins me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So with early voting starting next Tuesday, I rounded up the six Park City Council candidates to talk to them. We wanted to talk really, instead of issues, really about who you are, what you stand for, what inspires you, what your leadership style is. So I sent out a mass email to all six candidates at the same time, basically saying, you know, you could choose a day to come in between, you know, today and next Wednesday. And it was on a first come, first serve basis. Interestingly, those who chose next week were the first to respond, and it made me think, what's a leader? The person who waits to hear what everyone else has to say during their interview, or the person who jumps up and says, yeah, sure, bring it on? And you were that person who said, let's do this, I'm coming on first. So do you see that eagerness in my response, you know, in my request to be on the radio as a reflection of your leadership style?
I think that I'm not sure if it's my leadership style or just kind of who I am. When I'm faced with a challenge, I'd rather just tackle it and start working on it as opposed to putting it off and waiting to see what comes next, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And my schedule was free today. I had some time. I had some time to have a cup of coffee before I came in, and might as well just jump right into the fire. People know who I am, and or I'm trying to let people know who I am, and I am who I am, and what you see is what you get.
Yeah. So how would you describe your leadership style?
I think my leadership style, well, I'm very much developing my leadership style right now, and I don't know if there's ever a way to really categorize what you are, but I think that when I'm looking at issues or problems or working with people, my goal is to try to find out what their values are and where they're coming from. And often it's not the issue that they're bringing to the table that is really what's bothering them. It's they feel like their values are threatened. And that's really where we can start to find some solutions and some consensus. And it's all about finding what drives people and where they're coming from.
All right. So, I mean, I don't know, but I'm guessing that most, if not all of the candidates have been through the leadership program. What did you get out of it?
I got one of my favorite things about the leadership program was getting to meet so many of our public officials and actually getting to see them as real people and riding the bus with them on city tour and talking to them about not just what's going on in the city, but what they like to do. And when you start seeing your officials, and we had a police officer in our class, and when you start to see them as real people and not just a role in a suit and a tie or our city council, you know, a sweater, a cardigan, but all of a sudden it makes it seem like this is something that you can be a part of, that this is a conversation in our community, and that's what this is supposed to be.
All right. So when you think about maybe being elected and sitting in the council chambers, and, you know, you get people pissed off about something, what is it when the going gets tough? What is it that you draw on as an individual?
I honestly believe that most people are good, and sometimes they have a hard time expressing their feelings in a calm, rational way. When you're really upset about something or when something is really driving you, it's hard to talk about it. And so when people are upset or yelling at me, I was watching Parks and Recreation last night, and Leslie Knope has a line where she says, "I just think that people are caring loudly." So that's kind of what I turn to. It's not that they're necessarily mad at me, or maybe they are mad at me, but it's because they care.
All right. So when you look and think of role models, mentors, who comes to your mind?
I am so glad you asked me this question, because I have been thinking about this a lot lately. And actually, I feel very lucky. I grew up in a town surrounded by very strong, capable women. And I remember meeting you and Lynn and Carolyn Frankenberg and Betsy Bothy when you guys had small children at the pool. And over the years, I really watched you all have businesses and work hard and take care of your families. And I've seen you guys out on the hills and playing and taking care of each other and standing up for what you believe in and speaking out on the radio and at City Hall. And the woman that I nannied for, Maggie Abu Haider, who's a lawyer in town, has provided me with a great rational perspective. And it's just all this group of badass women in Park City that are not afraid to stand up for what they believe in, that are out there taking names on the trails, and then can come into a city council meeting and speak from their heart. And I grew up in that environment, and that has fed me and led me to believe that that is what I want to be. Right. So thank you.
So besides the obvious, the eating, the showering, that stuff, what do you do on a daily basis? Maybe not. Maybe you don't do something on a daily basis. And I mean, if that, what is it and why do you do it? Or something on a really very regular basis?
I trail run quite a bit. That is my happy place. And I try to get out on my bike as often as possible as well. But for me to be able to just put on a pair of shoes and walk out the door and run in our amazing trails here for just a few minutes, it just lets me calm down, sort my thoughts out, and puts me back into my happy place where I can focus. And so it's not at all surprising to see me sometimes try to sneak out for a noon run or a noon yoga or something to just get outside and clear my mind before the next activity.
So exercise is your go-to. Yeah. So what inspires you?
So many things inspire me. This could be a long answer and we only have 10 minutes, but I'm inspired by where we're at. It's so amazing to be able to go outside and look at the views and the colors and nature, and just, I always go outside and say, oh, we're so lucky to live here. And I have a friend who says, no, you are not lucky to live here. We've made good decisions. And I think that that's really true, that, you know, I've done everything I can possibly do to make it so that I can be in this beautiful place. I think that, having worked with so many kids and watching them come up in this town really inspires me, and seeing what everyone else is doing around me. I have an awesome group of girlfriends that are always pushing themselves and doing new and different things. And this is a cool, amazing, fun, funky, inspiring place to be. And I just am very grateful to be here.
Yeah. So are you a book reader?
I am.
So what are you reading right now?
Well, actually, right now I'm reading the magical Japanese art of tidying up. A little bit of structure and organization never hurts when you have so many things going on. But some of my favorite books, The World According to Garp, and is one of my favorites, and Prayer for Owen Meaning. I had a John Irving kick a while back, and so those are some of the ones that are fiction that I find some good messages in, and I will read anything. Right now, I'm reading a lot of city council packets.
Are there, besides the city council packets, I mean, are there any daily, weekly, monthly publications that you, you devour?
Turn to? And, well, I listen to a ton of NPR also. I'm a huge Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me fan, This American Life. I listen to you in the morning and the cool science radio. And so, yeah, I love public radio.
Yeah. In terms of your musical preferences, do you have one or?
Well, it's so, we have so much great music in this town. It's been really fun. There's lots of bluegrass that will come through town. I'm really excited to go see Railroad Earth with Park City Institute this winter. So, yeah, all over.
Is there a song that you'll never get tired of listening to?
I don't know. No, because I'm pretty sure if you heard any song on repeat, get tired of listening to it.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting. Not me. Not me. Huh. Interesting. Uh-huh. So what are your goals then as a city council member in 5 years? I mean, that after serving a first term, what do you want to be able to say that you accomplished?
I would like to say that I have really moved the needle on creating some different levels of affordable housing in Park City. I was, speaking of things that inspire me, when we were in Breckenridge, they've built over 869 affordable deed-restricted units, and they have more online. And they're really moving the needle and creating a basis for their local community. And for us to be so far behind that mark, I would love to say that I have really created some energy behind that movement and really contributed to moving that movement ahead.
Yeah. So in terms of the city council has identified affordable housing, transportation and carbon reductions as its critical priority. Do you walk then what the council is talking? I mean, what kind of car do you drive? I mean, how is it that you're, you know, reducing your carbon imprint?
I think that it's hard, but I think that actually reducing your carbon imprint comes down to everyday decisions that you make in your life. And I saw I went to the Racing Extinction movie at the park this summer that was hosted by Recycle Utah. And the one thing that I came away with from that movie was that our generation and those younger than me, we don't have the luxury of making a decision without considering how it's going to impact our environment. So I drive a Subaru Impreza, a little sedan. I try to ride my bike whenever I can. And we, the Aloha, the company I work for, we recently replaced all of our lights with LEDs. And so last year we did half of our stores and we saw $1,300 per store saved in a year. So we're excited to do that. And I've replaced my light bulbs in my house, but it's really little decisions you make every day and how much packaging you purchase and where you spend your money and buying good quality versus mass quantity. And it's hard. There's a lot of little things that happen every day that go into your carbon footprint, but we have such a huge obligation right now to do everything we can to make a difference and try to preserve our climate.
All right. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, given that you've grown up here, you were probably in fourth grade as opposed to second grade, but what would that fourth grade friend have to say about Becca Gerber?
I still have a couple of good friends. Well, most of them don't live in town anymore, but I think they probably would have said that I was a goofball and kind of a silly kid, and also that I was a book nerd. I used to fill out all my book it things all the way across every time.
And anything you would like voters to know about you?
I think that I just really feel like I have so much skin in this game and that this is a place that I care about and that I feel like has raised me, and I'm ready and willing to give back. And you know, time is precious and time is short, and who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. So I think that it would be a great opportunity to take a chance on someone like me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Becca, there's your 10 minutes. Thank you. That's Park City Council candidate Becca Gerber. KPCW News Time now, 8:43. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. 52 degrees now in Old Town Park City. Looking for mostly sunny skies today and a high of 67. We're cooling off overnight with highs into the upper 40s. 66 tomorrow, 65 on Friday. Looks like we've got a chance of rain coming in now for Saturday. Well, this summer, the Summit County Health Department conducted radon testing at each of the schools in Summit County. In the studio with details of those results, I have Environmental Health Director Phil Bondurant along with Environmental Health Scientist Rebecca Hollinger. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Phil, Rebecca, I don't know, who wants to give us the background for why this study was done, this testing was done?
Yes, so every school in Summit County has been tested for radon at the request of the Board of Health. And Summit County is going to continue performing these tests every other year at this point. The test came back very good with an average of 0.9. It's called picocuries per liter. And the maximum is 4. and all the schools came back well below the EPA limits.
All right. So you mentioned you're going to be doing this every other year, and you do that why? Because results can change over time?
They can change, yes.
Why is that?
With different construction in the area and shifts underground, it could activate radon to escape from the ground and enter homes and buildings.
Okay. So the highest result you had was, what, 2.7?
That's correct.
All right. And so that's in the green zone, is that? I mean, if you were, it's the okay zone?
It is.
Yeah. So at 4, it turns to kind of the red line then?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So if you had found something like that, what would you have done?
There are ways to mitigate the issue. There are licensed radon mitigators that can come in and put in a system to help divert the radon from in the building to move outward and also to prevent more from coming in.
Yeah. So were all of the classrooms checked or just kind of a random sampling?
A random sampling. We put them in a room where students would occupy either in a classroom or in the front office where students and staff both come in and out.
Yeah. So why is it important that we check the radon levels?
Well, it is important because radon does cause lung cancer at high levels with long-term exposure. It's also nicknamed the silent killer because you can't see it or smell it or taste it. So it's very important to test for it.
So, and radon comes from like what, radioactivity? I mean, why is radon bad? I mean, you say it causes cancer, but what is it?
It's a radioactive gas that comes from underground. It's naturally occurring and emits up through the ground and then can seep into homes and buildings through cracks in the foundation or any means that it can find.
Mm-hmm. So, but its genesis is what? I mean, it's just naturally occurring from rocks?
Correct, from radium in the rocks and in the ground.
All right. So how easy is it to test?
It's actually very easy. We have do-it-yourself tests. They take 3 to 7 days to get results, and we sell them at the Summit County Health Department for only $10, which includes postage and also the lab fee. So you hang it in your home for 3 to 7 days, you mail it, and then you'll get the results.
All right. And then it's important where you hang it?
It is. You don't want to put it into a closet or a crawl space. You want to put it in the lowest level of your home where you typically would be, either in a basement if you frequently enter the basement or the lowest level of your home that you occupy.
Okay. So, Phil, you also did inspections of school buildings and facilities over the summer. Did you find any glaring problems there?
No. This whole process with the radon inspections as well as the school inspections has brought to light a very valuable and good relationship between the school districts, the school administrators, and the health department. It's been a very refreshing type of approach to do these inspections. The schools are all very proactive. They've been very successful in maintaining a safe environment for the children, and the radon testing is just another avenue to ensure that both the staff and the children are safe when you send them off to school each day.
Okay. So again, if people want to test their own homes, they can just stop by the county health department there?
Yes, that's correct. And we are offering 10 free radon test kits for the first 10 people that come by and pick them up.
Okay. Located right there off of Round Valley Way, right?
Mm-hmm. 650 Round Valley Drive, correct.
Okay. Anything else people should know?
No. I think that there needs to be credit where credit is due, and the Board of Health and both the county council have been very supportive in this approach and that we've done, and I think that it's a very unique and refreshing approach, like I said, and how this has all played out. And we look forward to, in the future, using this baseline data to make sure that radon hasn't gotten into any of the schools and created a problem.
Okay. Phil Bondurant, Rebecca Hollinger, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
KPCW News Time now, 8:49. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. And in the studio with our monthly youth sports report, I have Ryan Walsh with Team Park City United and Olympic athlete Trace Worthington. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Leslie.
So let's start with you, Ryan. We're talking about, what, Jan's Winter Welcome?
Yes. It's coming up on Saturday, October 24th. We are less than 2 weeks away. And this is, of course, the major black tie fundraiser that supports youth sports in our town, the 35th annual Jan's Winter Welcome this year. And there are a few tickets left to attend this year.
It always sells out. So yes. If people are interested, just call or go online.
Yeah, and the location is up at the Stein Erickson Lodge. And ysaparkcity.org will have the opportunity for you to sort of get your tickets to attend the event, which we know as the live auction, silent auction.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
See and be seen.
The French Open.
The opportunity drawing this year is a French Open experience with a trip to Roland Garros and tickets to see tennis matches, the opportunity to play on one of the courts. Hotel is included, and it's once in a lifetime.
The Darlicious dinner, of course, you're well aware of.
Mm-hmm,
that always goes for big bucks.
It does. It does. That costume has a lot to do with it. But Trace, given that, I mean, you were able to work your winks up, of course, the U.S. ski team there. I mean, did you have, growing up, something like Youth Sports Alliance? And how important
no,
is that?
No. And that's why I'm a new board member of the Youth Sports Alliance, which is great. It's a phenomenal organization. They do such a great job. And a lot of it is because when I was younger, I did have a few things that took me over the top with funding. They weren't necessarily, it wasn't an organization or a nonprofit. It was just some private donations that were given to me when I was about 18 years old that put me over the top, allowed me to travel to Europe and compete in a couple World Cups that I wasn't able to afford. And it put me over the top. That year I was ranked top five in the world and then ended up going to two Olympics after that and becoming a successful skier. And so there's a lot of kids in this town who are in that same situation. You might see them up on the podium. They might be popular and all that, but it doesn't mean that they have the means to, you know, get to where they need to go in sports.
Yeah. So this is a big deal. I know it raises a couple $100,000, which is kind of divvied up.
$400,000 last year, and it was, you know, that was a big year, and we're hoping to go beyond that this year, obviously.
All right. You know. Let's see. You've also got the Get Out and Play signups taking place.
That's right. Get Out and Play signups are in full swing. And this, of course, is the program that sort of features the other end of the spectrum from what's most visible. We have a lot of podium kids, athletes who get onto the national teams. The Get Out and Play program for YSA really helps get the newer athletes or younger athletes off the couch, outside, and get exposure to the great winter sports facilities and coaching that we have here in town. And registration is in full swing. The programs include, it includes programming at Deer Valley, PCMR, White Pine, the Nordic spot, Park City Ice Arena, the UOP, and mountain biking, which is obviously more of a warm weather event.
Okay. And then you also have another program, Take a Kid Mountain Biking. We're going to be able to do that for...
Well, this just happened. Last weekend, YSA's Get Out and Play hosted the IMBA, the IMBA, Take a Kid Mountain Biking. It was a huge success with 75 kids attending. And coaches from Deer Valley, Basin Rec, White Pine, and Young Riders worked with athletes, young athletes on their mountain biking skills.
Okay. What else is going on?
I mean, with the Jan's Winter Welcome Cup, I mean, as Ryan mentioned, only a few tickets left so to attend the event, but a lot of people who can't make the event still have an opportunity to go on to YSA, parkcity.org and buy, you know, the drawing tickets, you know, to win the trip to the French Open. Right. So we encourage anybody to, you know, support through that if they can't make the event. It's a 35th anniversary, too, so still rolling strong. It's a lot of fun.
And around the corner, you know, after all of the decorations have been taken down and all the tuxedos have been replaced very carefully back in their garment bags, we're just a couple weeks away from Live PC, Give PC as well. And, of course, YSA and all the clubs participate in that to raise money for their organizations.
Okay. And, Ryan, I wanted to ask you, I mean, given the amazing turnout for Sam last Saturday, you know, it's... We never really recover, you know, when we lose a young kid like that. But in terms of what Team Park City United does, I mean, how do you guys move forward? I mean, that's what you're in business for, is doing tricks. And you know what? Sometimes they end badly.
Yeah, sure. It's a great topic that we'll be talking about with our families, of course, because there is inherent risk in the activities that these kids are passionate about. But it really provides a platform to have the dialogue about the care that we do take to ensure that these activities are undertaken with proper caution, proper training. We have licensed and licensed professional coaches. We are a member of we're a USSA club, and a lot of these young people are going to be out attempting these activities, whether or not there is a support there, like we provide, or like these programs provide. So we're really going to shift the conversation to what we are doing, where we, of course, have helmet policies. We have a bar down policy this year. We pursue these things in the safest way possible with the best preparation, and that includes dry land. It includes coaches like Trace here teaching kids how to have air awareness and how to execute these maneuvers properly.
Yeah, and this community came together, you know, for the past few days, and so a big thanks goes out to the entire community. It was awesome to see everybody come out and support the family, you know, Ron and Jennifer and Skylar and Patrick, and, you know, boy, it was cool to see this community. I mean, it just lifted you to see how this community came together and got behind the family.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a professional athlete there yourself, I mean, you knew the inherent risk. I mean, so what was it that, I mean, was it, is it just being very, you know, on all the time, knowing that, you know, I'm going to do something dangerous here? Or, I mean, what do you tell yourself?
Yeah, it's,
or do you,
it's,
you scare,
it's,
yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I was his age, I did a lot of stuff that was similar. And so, yeah, I mean, it was an unlucky situation, and sometimes a small margin of error can make the difference. And so, it happened to him, and it's an unfortunate situation for sure. But as we mentioned, we're going to, you know, move on and hopefully learn from that and teach the kids and, you know, bring a positive message out of it is what we're looking at doing.
And to Trace's point, this community has grown stronger in this event's wake. So we will emerge as a better community for it. And Sam unfortunately got to play a very important role in that. But his memory and our community rallying around this family is going to be a great positive influence as we move forward.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Oh, we're psyched about Jan's Winter Welcome.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks to everybody supporting it. And again, the opportunity to support it with a few tickets left to the event and the opportunity drawing on ysaparkcity.org.
Okay. Trace and Ryan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
KBCW News Time now, 8:58.
Morning News and the Local News Hour with Leslie Thatcher is provided by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Deer Valley Resort, and Promontory and the Promontory Foundation.